Good afternoon, everyone. I don't think my talk will quite stir the emotion that Mary Beth did, but we'll see. I'm going to talk about riparian buffers and the effects of riparian buffers on the hydrology of seasonal ponds. We did a harvesting experiment in northern Minnesota on seasonal ponds. I just want to acknowledge Brian Pallett from Northern Research Station just down the hall from me, Dan Truesteg, who is the master's student who I'm claiming the glory from, and Jay Bell, both at the University of Minnesota. Seasonal ponds, I see that Ron's going to talk about vernal pools next as well. A lot of names for these systems: seasonal wetlands, seasonal pools, vernal pools, autumnal pools. I've probably missed a few. And there are some differences in those definitions, mainly having to do with the hydro period and when things are wet and when things are dry, but I'm not much of a splitter, so I'm a lumper, and they're all pretty much small isolated mineral wetlands. And at least in Minnesota, they're about a hundredth of a hectare to about a quarter hectare. And in the Northeast, they're about 7/100 of a hectare for a mean. So they're small isolated wetlands. And at least in our part of the world, northern Minnesota, their hydrology is controlled by snowmelt and those early summer precipitation, especially those rains that come in May and June. There's a lot of precipitation during that time. They tend to have a longer hydro period. If there's not much during that time, they tend to have a shorter hydro period. And there's, of course, the wet and the dry phase, and it's dry because of the growing season ET. And if you look at these two slides, this first one's in the spring, you can see these three trees right here with the bands around them, and same with these three. So that's the difference between spring and summer. And this is the wet period, the dry period. And remember this slide because we're going to see it in the winter in just a little bit. They're really important from a number of different ways as far as habitat for critters. Generally, they're non-fish bearing, so that's really important from an amphibian and an invertebrate point of view. Really important for a lot of birds as well, including like wood ducks here in this photo. As far as management, at least in our part of the world, it's mainly black ash. Some green ash, some red maple, some paper birch, but these are black ash systems. And in the winter, they're really difficult to recognize on the ground when you harvest them. As you can see, these are those same three trees. And unfortunately, they're unintentionally harvested quite often because they're small in nature, and the difference in topography among them is not very high compared to the upland systems. And there's not many states that really have BMTs for these systems. A couple of examples are Maine, for their vernal pools, they call them. They have no harvest in the ponds themselves, and within 30 meters of the pond, they allow 25% harvest remaining, with 75% canopy remaining. And also 120 meters, they want 50% of the canopy remaining. Minnesota, we call them seasonal ponds. In Minnesota, you can harvest both in the pond and in a 15-meter buffer, but they want you to leave a certain amount of basal area, 25 to 80 feet squared per acre, and not try to disturb the soil too much. If you look in the literature, there's really no backing for those BMPs I just mentioned in Maine or in Minnesota. So we decided to do a harvesting experiment in northern Minnesota on seasonal ponds, and we looked at the effect of that harvesting on a number of different things, plant communities, invertebrates, amphibians, and in the case today, I'm going to talk about hydrology. The experimental design, we have four treatments. We have an unharvested control treatment where the uplands were not harvested and the buffers around the ponds were not harvested. And in all cases, the ponds themselves were not harvested in our treatments. And then there was an upland clear cut with an uncut buffer around the ponds of 15 meters. And then there was an upland clear cut with a partial harvest around the ponds in that 15-meter buffer with 50% of the canopy taken out. And then there was an upland clear cut, and the buffer was clear cut. And so for the following part of the talk, these are the terms I'll use for these treatments: control, uncut buffer, partial buffer, and clear cut buffer. There's putting a complete randomized block design. The blocks were all greater than 6 hectares. The forests were greater than 50 years. Ponds range in size from 200 to a tenth of a hectare. And there was 4 replicate blocks. So there was one treatment of those 4 treatments on each block, and it was replicated 4 times. pre-harvest year was year 2000, and I'm going to talk about the 5 years post-harvest from 2001 to 2005. As far as instrumentation for the hydrological studies, we had precip gauges in each block, staff gauges in each pond. Every year we went back to make sure those staff gauges didn't get moved around at all from freeze-thaw or other things. And we measured them bi-weekly from about April 1st to October 31st. And we did measure them. We got them all measured within a couple of days. So we're running out there measuring the pond levels basically on the staff gauges. As far as stats, we did a regression among all ponds pre-harvest and used those regressions to predict the effect post-harvest, essentially using the same approach as the paired watershed design. And then using those relationships, we applied those to the post-harvest information. We did t-tests on the slopes and y-intercepts of those regressions. The y-intercept is more or less indicative of the interannual variability in climate. So some years they start off high on the y-intercept, sometimes small, but that was really independent of sort of the treatment effects. So I'm not going to really talk about that much. Generally, they weren't significant. The differences in slopes between the pre-relationships and the post-relationships are really indicative of the harvest impact on the ponds. We also looked at some additional parameters to analyze the variance within years, including pond depth, mean and maximum, longest wet period, total number of wet days, and most consecutive wet days. And so the relationships we got between the control and all the harvested treatments prior to the harvest in 2000 had R-squares ranging from 0.83 to 0.93. So we had really good relationships between pond height elevation among the ponds and the controls. And then we saw differences in slopes between 2001 and 2004. And so really what I want you to focus on here is this column right here, the p-values. So 2000 was the pre-harvest year, so these are just the post-harvest years here that I'm showing. And the p-values for the first 4 years comparing the control to the uncut buffer show that they are significantly different for the first 4 years, and then in the fifth year they are not. Similarly, for the partial buffer, differences in the slope of that relationship for the first 4 years, and then in the fifth year, no difference. P less than 0.05. And then again, same for the clear cut. Differences the first 4 years, year five, no difference. If you look at annual mean pond depth, this is the pre-harvest year, no differences among treatments. First year post-harvest, we did see a pretty dramatic increase in pond depth in the clear cut buffer treatment. And those are also different for the partial and the uncut buffer than the control. And then, interestingly enough, in the second year post-harvest, the clear cut actually had the least water in them. And I'll talk about maybe what that is in a sec. The other thing to note, or two more things to note, I guess, is the partial buffer, although there is some differences compared to the uncut buffer, these two bars, go back and forth, and actually in year four, there's no difference between these two. So the partial buffer and the uncut buffer behave similarly, I guess you'd say. And then as far as mean pond depth coming out in 2005 again, 5 years post-harvest, no differences. The other parameters, there is no differences pre-harvest, no differences in 5 years post-harvest. Within those first 4 years, though, we saw differences in any particular year, in one or more years, where the clear-cut maximum depth was greater than the control. That was most likely at least in that first year. And then for the number of wet days, longest wet period, and consecutive wet days, we also had at least one or more years where the partial buffer and uncut buffer were greater than the control, and the partial buffer was greater than the clear cut. And that was the same for all of these different parameters. So what does all this mean? Well, the data certainly indicates that harvesting influences short-term pond hydrology. And the water depth generally went up, especially in year one. Clear cutting the buffer had the greatest rise in water table in year one, but had lower water tables in control in year two. And we just speculate that's because of a flush of new growth. It didn't happen that first year, but it caught up that second year and just took off. There's really a few differences among the harvested treatments indicating that there's some landscape level effects going on here at forest management. independent of sort of the buffer being there and the design of the buffer. And it's pretty obvious from our data that it takes about 5 years for these systems to recover hydrologically from these kind of harvests. Some of the other information we got on the critters and the plant community suggests a little something different than that. But for hydrology, it's about 5 years. So our recommendations as a result of this study is you might not clear-cut the buffer if you don't want to see that dramatic rise in year one as far as pond water levels. A partial buffer didn't really seem to be a lot different than the uncut buffer. 50% removal seemed to be okay. So that's sort of at the pond scale. But if you look at the more of the landscape level, these 15-meter buffers really did not mitigate harvesting impacts after year one. And wider buffers might potentially be needed if you're looking at pond water levels are a concern for you. And I think I'm done. Thank you. Any questions? Mary Beth?
What was the recovery time on the cut watershed? I mean, is it 5 years?
From what point of view?
Well, when you clear cut today's watershed, how long did it take for hydrologic?
So engaged watershed, like on Marcel, it's closer to 10 years, actually. Yeah, it's about twice as long. That's what we found. About 8 or 9 years. Interesting question.
Well, did you see any significance of precip over those 5 years?
So we certainly had varying precipitation over the 5 years, but essentially just was a new starting point for the differences in the relationships between the ponds. So in and of itself, it really didn't have a dramatic effect on looking at the statistical part of the effects. That's where that y-intercept moved up and down quite a bit sometimes. But the relationship from that y-intercept on a new year was what dictated the effect of how we determine effects.
And what was the species that most sensitive from your whatever the bugs or the...
Well, we're still working on some of that, I'm trying to think what critters were the ones that were most dramatically affected. There's certainly a couple of invertebrate species that were infected, and I can't remember which they were, to be honest. It's, the plant communities, some of the forbs and other things started to become more sedgy, after some of these treatments. So there's a seed bank is there, certainly, to have some plant changes. If it was wetter. So that's the best I can tell you. I don't know for sure. John?
What's the, I'm guessing there might be some historic frequency in there? No?
Don't know. Sorry. Lou?
When you pointed out just like the past penetration, did you monitor anything over this time by getting along the recovery of that process, considering that final biomass?
We did litter fall. That's about it. We didn't do sap flow. We didn't do any of those kind of things. Mike? Or, I'm sorry. Right. Certainly, if that was your only goal, is to have amphibians reproduce, it probably is a good thing. It's not people's only goal, though, a lot of times. There's a lot of other animal communities depend on those systems for other times, for things other times of year. And so it's just not necessarily only a service of having amphibian reproduction in these systems, I guess is the way I'd answer that. It's kind of a loaded question. I know what you're saying, but... There's other needs other than that one time of year when the frogs are reproducing.
But you got a whole lot of forests. If you want to help the system.
Go on. And let me just close that. I once was involved in a study in South Carolina where the rutting following harvesting led to new habitat for invertebrates and other critters. And there's quite a lot of concern that we should start rutting forests as a result of it, so we can increase that habitat. I think there's some corollary to that, and I'll leave it there.